Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and for men to step into this power in our world at this time. This is Emmy from Feminine Revered, and my magical guest for today is Udumbara Gesu. At 14, Udumbara had an enlightenment satori in which she expanded beyond any physical confines into an eternal expansiveness. Here she experienced a state of nuclear clarity she cannot fully define in words even today. Udumbara was born to mystic parents. She grew up in the presence of God-intoxicated masters and elusive mystics of India, fueling an out-of-this-world understanding of consciousness from an early age. She strengthened her Eastern lineage with Western education in psychotherapy and counseling, thus giving her a balanced edge. Udumbara is the founder of Navel Consciousness, the 25,000-year-old forgotten primordial mother's healing and wisdom. She initiates willing seekers in Navel Consciousness in her e-campus, the School of Absolute Inner Clarity. Her ability to demystify personal growth and spirituality has put her amongst world's top mentors, preferred by influential and conscious seekers worldwide. Amongst her students are celebrity authors, business leaders, successful chefs, game changers, and content creators from across the world. Her work is not only backed up by scientific evidence, but more importantly, by 25 years of testimonials and awards from students who endorse her from their heart and soul. Udumbara is a primordial mother's mystic, an inner clarity maestro who is known worldwide for her exemplary clarity, empowering honesty, and unconditional compassion. On a personal note, she's a conscious mother, a foodie for old recipes, a fan of heritage handloom textiles, and a circular environmentalist. And being in her presence is like being in the presence of a primordial force that envelops you warmly, Shiv Shera. Wow, it is such an honor to have you with us, Udumbara. Welcome.
Namaste from India. And first of all, thank you, Emmy, for inviting me here and for connecting with me and holding space for me here. And I would like to begin by saying that I love your voice.
Thank you.
It is such a powerful balance between the divine masculine and divine feminine. There's something very unique about your voice. So you've chosen podcasting as just the right thing to do.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me, Udumbara. Appreciate it. Great. Well, it really is a blessing to have you with us. And I would love to start by asking you, and I know this is going to be a yummy answer. So what does sacred feminine power mean to you personally?
Let me start with ignorance rather than awareness. First, it meant nothing ever because I grew up, I was born to parents who were seekers, and they were in the presence of elusive mystics of India. They were not in the presence of people who like to sit on the platform and, you know, speak. My parents, my father specifically, was very enamored by all those mystics who didn't bother to have seekers around them. And so I spent my entire childhood just in the embrace of these kind of mystics and in the seeking of my parents. And both of them had big questions. What is the universe? What's our role in it? What is God? So by 5 or 6, I also had these questions. And I had my own yearning. I had my own answers. I had my own questions. I had my own pain. I knew I was in a very safe space with them, and yet I had a sort of a homesickness. I would look up at the stars and wonder, why am I so far away from my home? So sacred feminine for a very long time, in fact, until I think my late 20s, didn't really mean much to me because there was a blanket umbrella mysticism of India, the original mysticism of India, in which women, men, all sorts of mystics are involved. And it's beyond religions, beyond dogmas, beyond the Shosha that you see everywhere. So it was not anything separate for me. But then I'm also a woman. And not only am I a woman, I am a woman, a person of color, a woman of color. I'm born in India. And all of this started to connect dots because as a person, I have experiences. As a person, as a woman, engaging with a patriarchal world meant having experiences. And how I engaged as a woman, my suffering, my struggles, even though I come from a very empowered background, my mother especially worked very hard to make sure that I'm educated, to make sure that I had the inner strength to go and meet the world and I would do anything I wanted to do. So I never had limitations from my, especially imposed by my parents. There were no limitations. They raised me in a very liberating environment and with a liberating mindset. But as a woman, I did encounter, you would know it, all the women would know it, that there is a patriarchal setting and we have our own experiences. That's when, what is a woman? What is feminine? And then what is sacred feminine? These terms began to float around in my system and I began to search. And then it just happened that one day, and I'll tell you the story how, but one day I just came to this entity called Primordial Mother. And what I realized in my journey was that the sacred feminine is one of the children of the Primordial Mother. And the Primordial Mother is not necessarily a feminine or a masculine entity or phenomenon. It is what we call in India Swambhu. Swambhu means self-created. So the Primordial Mother is the birth giver of everything. And here the sacred feminine is one of his children. So I sort of went straight to the Primordial Mother. Or rather, I think it would be very childish of me to say that I went to Primordial Mother. Rather, she adopted me for reasons she knew best. And I began to explore that. You've already explained my Satori, my enlightenment experience at the age of 14. And then after that, I had many enlightenment experiences at 16, at 20, at 25. So all of these experiences, they shaped up in such a way that I had to come to the doorstep of a primordial remembrance of me. And one of the, in that remembrance, before that remembrance, I did not have any labels. I was just a seeker. But then when I came to the door of that remembrance, I was also reluctant to get through it because it looked scary, of course, like it is for everyone. You know, it's a daunting phenomenon to see something that eternal, that existential, and that encompassing in front of you like a big, giant, colossal door. And you're so tiny in front of it and it's inviting you, asking you to come in. So I was definitely reluctant. But all my seeking and all my enlightenment experiences and all my personal experiences as a woman, they all built me up and they all made me stand at that door and eventually pushed me through it. So that is what happened to me growing up with the elusive mystics, being born to the mystics, being a seeker from early age, being an enlightened person from an early age. And also, I must say that as a person, I really tried my best to fit in and be normal.
How did that work out for you?
Oh, I failed miserably. I failed miserably. I was miserable. And I think I made everyone miserable because I just didn't fit in. I just didn't. I wasn't meant to. I mean, today, of course, I'm 45 and I celebrate being different. I don't just celebrate me being different. I teach everyone how to be different, whoever wants to be. And I teach them how to celebrate being different. But there was a time when I just, there was a part of me that really wanted to fit in. So I did all those typical things. I had a typical education. I got married and, you know, I had a baby and all those things. I mean, all of them, of course, gave me great joy. There's no doubt about that. But I did try to do it in the normal way as well. And I did fail. And the primordial mother said, you know what? You're not giving in, so I'm just going to pull you out. And I'm just going to take your life to a place where you cannot deny this anymore. So the sacred feminine for me is a part of the primordial mother, and a very important part, because right now, before we go to the primordial mother, the sacred feminine has to awaken. It has been lying dormant. It has been lying, not just dormant, it has been going through a fire for the last 3,000 years. And the sacred feminine has been in that fire burning and surviving. Mm-hmm. And now the time has come that the sacred feminine take the center stage, because patriarchy is on its way out. And the ironical part is that in patriarchy, we think that it's the men that have sabotaged the sacred feminine. But when you look at it from the primordial mother's lens, you will see that there is a time cycle for every human evolution. There is a time cycle. And according to the time cycle, when patriarchy takes place, at that time, men become its first victims. They forget themselves. Mm-hmm. And they become the perpetrators. So the greatest loss, internally, consciousness-wise, is of the masculine.
Mm-hmm.
They go from the sacred to the masculine, and from masculine to toxic masculine. And the collateral damage, of course, is sacred feminine, not just feminine, but sacred feminine, and of course, all the sentient beings of Earth and the Earth itself. And all of this drama has been going on for 3,000 years. Now, when there is more balance, now when the time has come for the balance will happen thousands of years later. But right now, that process has begun. And in this, sacred feminine has a role, has a very powerful role. It has a voice, a very powerful voice. And that's why you see that women are waking up everywhere. We are waking up to our personal voices. We are waking up to our personal knowing. We are waking up to our personal truth. We are waking up to our individual understanding of the universe, of the earth, and of our own bodies, and that of our children's bodies. So sacred feminine has to wake up in its full glory and be adventurous, be out there fully, and even embraced fully, for us to even begin moving towards the primordial mother.
Mm. And not everybody is ready to embrace that sacred feminine yet. That is quite clear on our planet, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because, see, we are going through the deprivation triad. The deprivation triad is something that began about 3,000 years ago. This is what I have been, I have seen, I have perceived and realized in naval consciousness. And these are the principal, the founding information about naval consciousness. What happens is that there is a time cycle, time rhythms. And in each time rhythm, depending on what needs to blossom, things happen. So 3,000 years ago, the time for darkness to blossom, for unconsciousness to blossom began. And so naturally, everything that had to do with your intuition, everything that had to do with your gut feeling, everything that had to do with your navel's wisdom was withdrawn. And that's why we see that from the time, from 3,000 years ago, you see everything developed. All the social, economic, religious structures developed around unconsciousness, as much as we believe that they are conscious. But they are about fear. They are about shame. They are about sabotage. They are about control. They are about illusions.
Mm-hmm.
So the process of withdrawing the navel's wisdom began 5,000 years ago. Until then, we had it. And so there was a veil, and it started to hide. And it began to hide. Once it began to hide, all the sentient beings of the earth, you know, in all shapes and colors and sizes and forms, also began to withdraw. And in these 3,000 years, not only did we lose the wisdom of the navel and thus of the gut and thus of the entire abdominal constellation, not just the womb, we lost the entire abdominal constellation. It's a cosmos by itself. And we also lost all those sentient beings, which are now hiding there in higher dimensions, and they don't show themselves here. So this process, 3,000 years ago, now it has just begun to make itself available to you in terms of consciousness. It's showing you that the deprivation triad is here. And it chose to do that by allowing navel consciousness to again come through. Before people realize what navel consciousness is, I think it's going to be 500 years before fully even embracing navel consciousness. But the information has begun to come. And it chose to be born through a woman. It always is born through a female, biological female gender. And this time it chose to be born to an indigenous woman. And from a sacred land. I mean, all land is sacred, but India, this time India. So deprivation triad is the primary frequencies of the deprivation triad are separation, fear, and lack. And that's what you see is our reality.
Yes.
When that happens, that's when sacred feminine is sabotaged.
Big time, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
So we are now going to learn how to begin the journey with sacred feminine. I'm not even saying that it is gone anywhere. Of course, there's a long journey before people embrace it, before people awaken it, before non-female also awaken it. Of course, we have a lot of men. We have people from all genders waking up to their sacred feminine. And yet you see that, you know, it's just a drop in the ocean. It's not yet anywhere close to even a wave, for that matter. And it's just the beginning.
It is a beginning. It's a beautiful beginning. And yes. I would love for you to dive a little bit deeper into navel wisdom and then navel consciousness. But when you started to talk about navel wisdom, you spoke about the whole area around the navel, the womb, and so on. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yes. See, for me, this journey, I knew nothing about the navel. I never thought of it. I just knew a lot about the abdomen. I also didn't know much about the womb. As I said, I didn't start off with sacred feminine. The one thing that I knew from childhood was that there is an intelligence somewhere in my tummy. And I always listen to it. It's very strong in my system. And when I don't have permission from it, I don't do anything. So sometimes I sit over things for a very long period of time because my abdomen is not giving me permission for it. So the word navel was not in my dictionary anywhere. It didn't have any spiritual significance for me. When my mother began as an energy teacher, energy healing teacher, at one point through her enlightenment experiences, she downloaded something called the Navel Awakening Initiation. And this is a hands-on initiation. And when she began doing it, when she began practicing it on seekers, some telepathic communication began to happen between her being and my being. So she's a mystic. She doesn't like to talk about anything. She'll tell you a lot of stories, but she is not She's not an orator. She won't sit there and give you some science behind what she does, what her mysticism is and what she does. So she cannot give you something like that. But she was just practicing it, and automatically I was understanding navel. So I was sitting there with downloads about human navel, about human navel consciousness every day, to the point of sometimes feeling that my brain is going to explode because I saw so many things in the cosmos, in the universe. My brain was not enough for it. So sometimes I had to get up and watch trash TV just to come back to normalcy.
Mm.
So this word navel came from that remembrance. And in fact, I must take the opportunity and invite you and seekers like you, facilitators like you, who are specifically into sacred feminine. If you have the time, if you have the energy, please come to Mother Rabia and get your navel awakening initiation till she's alive. She's here in body. Mm-hmm. Because facilitators, most of all, teachers, wisdom teachers, facilitators, they all need it.
Mm. Thank you for the invitation. Yes.
You're most welcome. So when this information began to happen, that's when I began to decode the entire abdomen. So the abdomen is full of the womb. So the womb has its own wisdom. The navel has its own wisdom. It is connected directly to our second brain. That's the enteric nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a connection with the universal wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens at birth is when your umbilical cord is cut, you are dislodged from your connection with the universal wisdom. And when you are dislodged, you come here, and your connection between the universal wisdom and your enteric nervous system is dislodged. So you become something like a clarity orphan as soon as you're born.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your sacred inner clarity. You lose your direct connection with the universal wisdom that was going to guide you. And what happens is that you come here, you're lost, you begin to look up at others for validation, for guidance, and to tell you how to live your life and who you are, who you should be. And you spend your entire life until some awakening happens, following something or the other, knowingly, unknowingly. And then an awakening, a jolt hits you, whether it's the death of someone, whether it's a disease, it's a loss of someone, it's a separation, something, it's a financial loss, something that shakes your heart. It hits you and you begin to realize, I am somebody. And I don't have to always go and ask for guidance from others or look up at others or validate myself from others or get approval from others. So this shock was not needed. This jolt of life was not needed. You originally came with a setting where you are self-approved, self-validated. And that setting gets dislodged. So you lose your connection to your womb if you are a woman. The man loses connection also with their masculine womb. You lose connection with your navel. You lose connection with your enteric nervous system. So you lose connection with your hara, that is your sensuality, your sexuality. And sexuality is not the sexual orientation. Sexuality is your absolute ecstatic existence in which everything happens effortlessly, in which you are your miraculous self. The sexual orientation has very little, if nothing, to do with it. So you lose that much just by being born in the deprivation triad.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, one becomes a clarity orphan. Then one begins, as you grow up, you start to use your heart's wisdom. And by the time we are in our early 20s, our heart has been broken so many times that the heart begins to shut. We start to become more practical.
Mm-hmm.
And for practicality, you have to use your brain. So you start to use your head, which means you start to use your conditioning. And you become a limited person who is running on conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much we lose just by being born.
Wow.
In the deprivation triad.
Yeah, that's very thought-provoking. And I was thinking as you were talking there, like, have you noticed the difference between babies who are born in the typical hospital setting who have their umbilical cords cut right away and babies who are going through lotus births where actually the umbilical cord is left intact? I mean, they still, of course, do lose it eventually, but in an organic and a natural way. Have you seen a difference there, or do you feel that there might be a difference between those babies?
Yes, there is definitely difference. There's no doubt about that. However, they are born to mothers who are born in the deprivation triad.
Mm-hmm.
So deprivation triad, that means separation, fear, lack. This is in our flesh and blood,
mm-hmm.
not just in our psyche. So this is running in our system. And it will take hundreds of years before it actually gets out of our system completely. We have now begun that journey. It's not even the beginning. You know, the curtains have not even been drawn on the stage. So it's not even begun. But yes, it has in a way. So yes, there is a difference. But we have to learn birthing, because human birthing is spiritually and psychologically an immature process in the deprivation triad. It's a process that takes more away from you than it gives you. Because birthing into a form, into a body, is an empowering process outside the deprivation triad.
Mm-hmm.
So when you meet advanced ethereal beings, they are also born in a form. Not all of them are formless. Or even if you meet the sentient ethereal beings, of the earth, many of them, most of them are in a form. And for them, being in a form does not mean they are in limitation. The form itself is empowering. Their body is empowering for them. And so is ours. Ours is also designed to be a very, ours is designed as the most enigmatic, empowering, intelligence. Our body is that. But the cutting of the umbilical cord has been going on for 3,000 years. So the impact is even on the babies who are being born through lotus birth. But of course, they are in an advantageous position.
Mm-hmm. At least they get to maintain that connection to the universal knowing and wisdom for a little bit longer. And it's not such a traumatic, abrupt kind of a shock to the system when the cord is cut. So yeah, that's beautiful. Now, you started talking about the ethereal beings, and I'm very curious now. Could you please share a little bit more? Who are these ethereal beings, and why are they here? What is their role?
When I started to perceive the primordial mother, I also began to perceive time cycles and rhythms and the children of time. This is what the primordial mother says. Children of time. So we are different kinds of children of time. I'm writing about it in my book. And so I'm just taking it off my chapters and I'm sharing it here in the podcast. There are many types of children, and some of them are advanced ethereal beings. Many are advanced ethereal beings. So when I began to perceive, I perceived many, but I was specifically guided to focus on one certain kind. And for a very long time, my mind had to work on grasping it. Even as a normal person, my mind it works differently. It's not that rigid. I have a very fluid mind. So my mind is not something that my mind is always open anything, because that's what I've understood through my intelligence, that the universe, Earth, us, we are so complex and so advanced and so multi-layered and multi-dimensional that no one can afford to have a conclusive mind. So even then, my mind had to grasp it. So I began to perceive Udumbara. Now, Udumbara is one of the sacred feminine, I would say. You know how we have Lakshmi, we have Kali, we have Saraswati, and in other cultures, we have different goddesses. Udumbara is one specific set of advanced ethereal beings, and they are the keepers of the navel consciousness, wisdom, and healing. And in every time cycle, when the time comes, it's their job to withdraw navel consciousness from the collective memory. And it's their job to begin introducing it to the collective memory. And it always happens through biological female. It always happens through one incarnate female. So Udumbara are beautiful. They are enigmatic. They're powerful. They're very focused. And their speciality is absolute clarity. And that's what they associate with navel. In the navel consciousness resides your absolute inner clarity. So they are extremely clear. They are clear about the smallest details, and they're clear about the largest colossal truths of the existence. That's their speciality. Yes. And it's beautiful to be in touch with them, to receive Udumbara. I am the Udumbara queen incarnate. And the queen here is not a hierarchical position. The queen incarnate in the Udumbara language is someone who has blossomed, who has gone through a journey of enlightenment for thousands of years, and has blossomed to their potential, and has chosen to be born on Earth at a certain point of time, which sometimes is mostly challenging. Challenging times, or times of unconsciousness, and begin talking about navel consciousness, strike up a conversation, start sharing about it. So there are many lifetimes where I have I didn't even get the chance to start talking about it. But here I did. And let's see how far we go.
Well, thank you for sharing so openly about this, Udumbara, because I know that you haven't been speaking about it very much in public forums like this one. So I really, truly appreciate that. And yeah, what an honor to be conversing with you about this as well. It feels very special. The energy right now feels very, very special as well. And yeah, I mean, there's so many questions swimming in my head right now that I have to ask you, but let me just tune in for a moment. What is the most important one to ask right now? Yes, you've mentioned a number of times now that we started parting the veils, and we're now in the beginning of this navel consciousness, and people really starting to awaken to the sacred feminine and to navel consciousness. What do you see happening within our lifetimes? What kind of shifts and changes do you feel are possible in our lifetimes? Because I know there's a lot of people out there who are really yearning for massive, big change.
Yeah. This is an interesting question. And of course, it has a multi-dimensional, multi-layered answer. So what I perceive is that the sacred feminine definitely rises. But before the sacred feminine actually takes its seat of wisdom, there will be a lot of chaos, because what is sacred feminine? We are women born in the deprivation triad. We have four models, men, and the competition, the control, the division we have been watching throughout history. So it's in our system. So we need to filter it out. We need to filter out that toxicity. And for that filtration, a lot of chaos will take place. So you will have a lot of, I'm sorry to say, sham artists also calling themselves sacred feminine and doing all possible nonsense in the name of sacred feminine. That too will happen. And then a filtration will happen. An actual sacred feminine will begin to take its seat of wisdom to run this world, to run its politics, to run its economics, to run its social systems. And that process alone is something that we can see in our lifetimes, the chaos and then the final arrival at the stage. So right now, of course, we are watching the chaos. We are watching, and we have to learn to sieve the imposters from the genuine. But that too is a process. And human beings are very sly. Human beings are very clever. It's not easy to sieve. It's not easy unless your perception is open, unless you're not seeing through your senses and hearing through your senses. When you perceive, and perception is at its best at your navel, because that's where you perceive from. You don't perceive from the mind. Heart doesn't know how to perceive. It knows how to feel. Perception is at the navel. So right now, the first thing that has to happen and that is beginning to happen is an honoring of your intuition, intuitive intelligence. Now, if you see that even in social media, people have begun to speak about the value of your intuition. So it's being talked about even in corporate world for 9-to-5 jobbers that listen to your intuition about yourself, about your job. So that has to happen first. And then the doors are, simultaneously the doors are opening up for people to come to navel consciousness, get initiated into it. Because navel consciousness by itself, what it initiates you into is a totally advanced spatial reality. Now we are, this, what we are experiencing is time and space, but more importantly, space. So the spaces of the deprivation triad, that means the spaces of separation, so that you see a lot of division, a lot of polarity. It's of fear, so insecurities, low self-esteem, self-doubt, and lack. So a lot of poverty, despite the fact that we have so much abundance. There is no dearth of money or resources on earth. And yet, poor are the largest in quantity.
That's right.
So for us to, whatever solutions we bring in the deprivation triad, they're always going to have the element of lack in it. And when you look at something from a quantum spiritual space, not just from the mental space, when you go into the quantum science of spirituality or the quantumness, then you have to know that you have to change your spatial reality. It has to be a different space. It has to be a different reality than today's reality, the reality, the collective and the individual reality you are in right now. So the navel consciousness initiates you into something called the navel abundance triad. It runs on the frequencies of ecstasy, abundance, and health. It's a spatial reality by itself. So the way out for us is to get initiated into the spatial reality, into this spatial reality, and to know how to pray in this spatial reality, how to pull it into our system, into our cellular memory, into our space, into our being, into our life, into our reality, and how to begin to live it. And the primordial mother has given me the job of initiating the willing seekers into it. That's what I'm doing, working through different programs, different layers, trying to make it accessible to as many willing seekers, seekers who are ready, seekers who have already honored their intuition, to now take this step. Together we build, everyone who gets initiated into the NAT, Naval Abundance Triad, gets to spread that spatial reality. And the more of us are initiated into this new spatial reality, advanced spatial reality, the more of us will weave it into a collective reality. This becomes our reality. So ecstasy becomes our reality. So joy and happiness become our everyday experiences. Abundance becomes our reality. Health, so mental health, most importantly, spiritual health, and our body's health. And with body's health, I don't mean to say just fitness, but with body's health is your communion with your body, because your body is a phenomenal intelligence by itself.
That is so true.
And it has so much to teach us. Every cell has so much to teach us. Every cell guides us. Every cell has a story. Mm-hmm. Every cell has an intelligence. And it's just that we in the deprivation triad have been taught to be deaf to it. So in the Naval Abundance Triad, in this advanced spatial reality, you meet health and what it means in its original form.
Beautiful. You're opening so many beautiful, beautiful portals of wisdom here that we could dive into and talk about for hours here with Umbara. We do need to start wrapping up now, though, but I would
love
you to tell us, if our listeners, and I know many of them will, how would they find you if they want to learn more about you and work with you?
Well, I have been present in the market, I call it, for 25 years now. And we have, because of my lineage, we have always worked on a model that we have received from the original spirituality of India. And the model is of spiritual intimacy. The model is of being in the presence of the master or the teacher or the actualized being, and actually getting initiated through their presence, upgrading yourself even more, even if you are a greatly upgraded being. Even then, every teacher has their own vibrational set. So I work on that model. But in 2014, when from inside of me, the name Udumbara came, and I was told that I had to start using it, and it has to be Udumbara Gesu. At the same time, I was also guided to shift much of my work online. And by 2023, I already have an online established school. So there are different tiers to it. I can be super intense, and I can be super light. I have learned to be this, to be very honest, through all my struggles as a person, as an individual. I have gone through many, many struggles in life. I had a karmic contract to live hundreds of lifetimes by the time I'm 40. So there's a lot that I have gone through. And because of that, I have an adaptability. So I can have a very intense space for a seeker if they like it, and I can have a very light space. So my e-campus, the School of Absolute Inner Clarity by Udumbara Gesu, it has a few options. There is one option where you can meet me live every month and we have 60 minutes together, where I facilitate a no limitation, no definition masterclass, which is full of humor and lightness, because everybody takes healing very seriously, personal growth very seriously. I understand, as an individual also, I understand that trauma and stress is not something that you can laugh at. But then personal growth and healing is not something that can be done with seriousness. So there is a lightness, and I would like people to get introduced to this laughter, to this ease, to be able to laugh with yourself, at yourself, and be able to enjoy your personal growth. So in this live class, which I call Festival of Clarity, in that I am live and we are laughing and we are healing and we are growing. Then I have an immersion for advanced facilitators who would like to decondition from deprivation triad, because all the advanced facilitators, teachers, masters, no matter how qualified one is, the mind and body, cellular energy and memory is still bound to the deprivation triad. So I have a 1-year immersion where every month you'd go through a class where we are basically doing something called the blasting, where we are blasting off the deprivation triad. So every month there is a theme. There are 12 jails that the deprivation triad puts an individual into. And every month we break a jail. So that's a 1-hour class. That's an immersion. And then I have Naval Consciousness Inner Clarity Masterclasses. These are 60-minute masterclasses. For now, I have them on 5 essential subjects: love life, money, self-worth, breaking free from conformity, and something else also, which I don't remember right now. But I have a page for that. I have a store there. You can just go there, buy it instantly, and have access to it. So I have different tiers for different kind of seekers, different kind of willingness. And one has to engage with the work that I have. Then I also have retreats. They are in person. We go to a sacred space anywhere in the world. We choose the space. We go there together. We spend about 5 or 7 days. And we heal and we grow and get initiated into NAT.
Beautiful. And I'll include the website address for your school in the show.
Yes, please.
So people can easily find it that way. And I understand you have a gift for our listeners as well.
Yes, I have. I think I have included the link. It's a gift masterclass, the Festival of Clarity episode. So one can just go there and receive the gift.
Beautiful. Thank you so much
for that. It's a pre-recorded class. It was live, but it's a pre-recorded class now. So that's what I wanted to offer.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. You offer so much to the world, and there is so much embodied wisdom within you that when you share that through spoken word, it really has so much clarity and so much depth to it. So I really, really appreciate you, first and foremost, coming onto the show, and secondly, for stepping into your power and doing this work. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much for understanding that, and for holding space for it, and for appreciating it. And I must reflect it back at you and definitely say that I love the work you're doing, and I love the way you hold space for so many women, for so many men who are stepping up, who are stepping into sacred feminine, and they are claiming their place, and you are also helping take their voices to so many people. and the personal work that you do. So thank you for holding the space that you do.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Udumbara. Thank you. Now, just for a moment, let's focus our awareness and our intention on this expansive, beautiful energy that's been activated during this conversation, and send this energy to everyone and everything on our planet to remember that we are all truly one, and that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power and to start learning about things like navel consciousness, the more quickly our planet will also ascend and heal. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.